T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Stephen A. Smith, you can see him on First Take, the Stephen A. Smith Show, and basically anytime you turn on or listen to any platform on ESPN. Stephen A. Smith joins us now. Stephen A., let's talk about the situation that's going on in Golden State. Obviously, Kevin Durant isn't over it, and the team felt like they needed to do something strong with Draymond Green. From what you're hearing in your sources, how deep is the divide right now between Kevin Durant and Draymond?
Well, it's deep enough of a divide that they felt the need to suspend Draymond Green, because the belief is that obviously with Kevin Durant approaching free agency, you want to make sure you don't do anything to alienate him. So obviously that's indicative of having a concern that you could potentially lose him. And, you know, now you see reports circulating that there's no way on earth that Kevin Durant is coming back. I would tell you that although we don't know that definitively, that's certainly a legitimate assumption, simply because if you know anything about Kevin Durant, he's not about that kind of drama. And it's not something that's going to derail him from pursuing the championship this season and going out there and balling and getting along with Draymond Green on the court and what have you. But if what my sources told me are correct, that during the huddle, when the end of regulation took place in the loss against the Los Angeles Clippers on Monday night, when Draymond Green got at him because and brought up his contract, his impending free agency, and basically indicating that you got one foot in, one foot out, and attacked him to that degree and just would not let it go, that certainly was beyond the pale. That was a bit excessive in the NBA culture, as in a culture of sports overall. That's just something that you don't do. From what I'm told, Draymond Green reacted that way because he was really offended that Kevin Durant had slammed his hand on the chair and had screamed at him for not getting him the basketball. But nevertheless, there are a lot of people that felt that Draymond Green should not have taken it to the level that he took it to. And because he did, that's just not something Kevin Durant is going to let go of. So if you take that into account, along with the fact that even before it happened, Kevin Durant hadn't signed a long-term deal, had an out after this season, was contemplating places like New York, the Lakers, maybe even the Boston Celtics, stuff like that, it definitely appears as if the Golden State Warriors could be in a little bit of trouble in terms of retaining him.
Yeah, we'll get into that side of it in a minute, Stephen A., but just in your opinion, how much of this whole thing was Draymond taking it too far or KD being too sensitive?
No, I think Draymond took it too far. Again, I preface that comments by saying if the report's true, because I have not spoken to Draymond directly about this particular subject. The bottom line is I tried to reach out to him, but, you know, he went AWOL. He was really, really silent because the Warriors obviously had instructed him to do so. But it's one of those situations where to bring up a player's impending free agency as an excuse to question his loyalty to the team, that's just a hard thing to stomach. Take into account the fact that Kevin Durant arrives with the Golden State Warriors. In fairness to Draymond Green, Draymond was the number one person recruiting him. But you arrive with Golden State, you immediately answer the call. You win back-to-back championships. You're an NBA Finals MVP. One of the pivotal reasons that happened was because you're Kevin Durant and you took a pay cut just so guys like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala could remain with the team and be paid themselves. These are the things that Kevin Durant did. So he's done nothing to have his loyalty questioned or his commitment to winning championships questioned since he has arrived in Golden State. He did not deserve that. But again, that's if it's true, which I believe it is, according to my sources. But I haven't spoken to Draymond Green directly.
So, Stephen A., in dominant teams, we always wonder about cracks. You know, in football, with New England losing 3 games on the road, all by double digits, we go, uh-oh, is this the beginning of the end? With this going on right in Golden State and a couple of free agents from KD to Klay Thompson at the end of this year, do we start to look at this and say, well, this might be a wrap on after this year's Golden State team as we know it?
My response to that would be, that's how I would look at it, but the Golden State Warriors repeatedly tell me, you would be vastly mistaken if you looked at us that way. We believe that we're going to keep everybody in place. This is from ownership on down. Steph's not going anywhere, obviously. Klay's not going anywhere. Kevin Durant's not going to leave us. Draymond's not going anywhere. This is their mentality, but we know better than believing that. First of all, you've had people within that organization that have been suspicious, or suspect rather, on Draymond Green and whether or not there's some slippage, his health, attrition, et cetera. He doesn't appear to be the same player that he was. Certainly with his three-point shooting 3 years ago, he was shooting 38% from three-point range. It's dipped to 30 the previous two seasons, and now it's at 24%. And so when you look at it from that perspective, if he's not hitting open shots, you got to question how effective he can be in that particular offense, even though I still think he's stout defensively. Although he did have a bad night the other night, Montrezl Harrell for the Clippers was really giving it to him. Then you look at it from the standpoint of, okay, if you lose KD, well, Anthony Davis departed from his agent. He hired LeBron's guy, Rich Paul, as his agent now. There's no telling where Anthony Davis may want to be. Yeah, L.A. is a possibility, but so is Golden State, so is Boston, because the New Orleans Pelicans have his rights, and they've said they're not going to trade him. But if he wants out, who are you going to trade him to? So you got to wonder about that as well. So I would look at the Golden State Warriors, and I would say it's not etched in stone in terms of their championship future. Chances are they'll keep Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, because Klay Thompson's given every indication he doesn't want to depart from Golden State, and he wants to be a member of the Splash Brothers. But we simply don't know based on what's been transpiring. And if KD leaves and Draymond gets traded or whatever the case may be, where does that leave them? We don't know right now. And so I would say to you, the only thing we can rely upon with Golden State is this season. Beyond this season, I think it's entirely possible that at least two of their guys could be gone next season.
Well, listen, the NBA offseason sometimes has a lot more drama than the actual regular season because of all those moves. Stephen A. Smith with us. Okay, Stephen A., you said you're hearing that both the Lakers and the Knicks might be landing spots for KD should he leave Golden State. Let's start with the Knicks first. Why would he want to go to the Knicks? What would be the sell there?
Well, KD, people said we keep our options open. We'll entertain anything. I can tell you that the New York Knicks firmly believe, or have been led to believe, they have a chance. That's the only reason that I can give you, because I didn't sure wouldn't be the Knicks ahead of the Warriors or the Lakers at this particular juncture. But I would also tell you this. First of all, if Porzingis comes back, that's a big deal for the New York Knicks. If Kevin Knox shows you any potential that he has, that could be a potential big deal. And the reason why I bring that up is because, guys, if you remember this summer, I talked about how the Lakers were looking at Damian Lillard and Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers. He doesn't want to leave. Portland doesn't want him to leave. But in the same breath, they know what they are. They're a good team that's not really going to go come postseason time, because really all they have is him, Damian Lillard, and C.J. McCollum. So I reached out, and I got connected to folks very close to Damian Lillard, who confirmed to me if he had the choice, it would definitely be New York or L.A. if he were not to remain in Portland, and that he would prefer the Knicks over the Lakers because, like Kawhi Leonard, he doesn't want to be, or he's reportedly not interested in being a part of the paparazzi kind of atmosphere that LeBron generates in Tinseltown. That's not what Damian Lillard wants. That's not what he wants to be a part of. So Portland would be his first druthers, but if he had a choice between L.A. and New York, it would be New York. Well, if he feels that way, think about Kevin Durant's personality and what he's built of and what he's made of. Yes, New York is New York with the large media contingent and what have you. But the big thing is that L.A., that's like a paparazzi kind of atmosphere. That's not necessarily the case in New York, and that's how they view it when you compare New York to L.A., and that's why that comes up.
Okay, but what about L.A. then? Because we've seen, as you mentioned, so many people deferring and not wanting to be with LeBron because of a variety of reasons. Would Kevin Durant really want to sign up for that?
Yeah, I was of the mindset no. But then I was told, wait a minute, if he wins this year, he's got as many rings as LeBron. He's got a home in L.A. just like LeBron. And because of the attention LeBron attracts, that would be less concern for Kevin Durant, because people wouldn't bother him nearly as much because LeBron is there. So I don't know what to believe. I'm just telling you what I'm being told.
Right. Talking to Stephen A. Smith, over to the 76ers in the East. Jimmy Butler goes there. They lose at a Magic last night. And listen, they have time, obviously, to grow. But what's becoming more and more difficult to watch, Stephen A., is Markelle Fultz. What is going to be going on with that situation?
It's a disaster. It's a disaster. And I think that he has the potential to go down as a big-time bust. Clearly, it's a shoulder injury that's been bothering him. You see the pump faking on a free throw the other night or what have you. People are giving him a standing ovation when he hits a three-pointer, because we know that that's such an extreme aberration. We get all of that. But I think that the biggest thing with him is psychological. I think that things are going on with him off the court, and I don't know enough to speak to the specifics of that. But just mentally, it's just a huge problem. You got a coach in Brett Brown that is clearly playing him because he's forced to. He's a former number one overall pick, a number one overall pick that former GM Brian Colangelo gave up a first-round pick to the Boston Celtics just to move up to get him, and passed on Jason Tatum in the process.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about here. So Brett Brown knows that he has to legitimize the number one overall pick to the best of his ability, and that's why he was trying to do it. But Brett Brown has never had faith in him. Obviously, J.J. Redick is extremely and considerably better than Markelle Fultz, and you have a situation where the only reason why Markelle Fultz was in the lineup, in the starting lineup, is because you're trying to validate him being the number one overall pick. Now that Butler's there, the likely starting lineup would be Butler with Redick, with Simmons, with Embiid, and either Wilson Chandler or Muscala, with one or the other coming off the bench along with T.J. McConnell. And you'd be lucky to see Fultz. It's just that they know that if we're thinking about moving him down the line, we've got to put him on the court and see if we can get anything out of him so somebody else would have enough faith in him to trade for him. That's the only reason you're seeing Markelle Fultz. They don't have a lot of faith in him right now, and they're damn near close to believing he's a lost cause. They're just holding off on that because, obviously, it's in their best interest to believe in him as much as possible so they can try to get something out of him before they move him, assuming they're ever able to move him.
It's just crazy how fast that has devolved about a former number one pick. It's nuts. Stephen A. Smith with us from the Stephen A. Smith Show and First Take. Stephen A., what is the future for Carmelo? I mean, we've had Tracy McGrady come out on the jump and say he should be retired. Obviously, he has an illness, which is keeping him out of the Houston Rockets lineup. Right. What do we think is actually going to happen here?
I think that he has to contemplate retirement. I'm not quite there where Tracy McGrady is, because I believe that Carmelo can still average 15 to 18 a night for a team with the right coach. I think that the Houston situation was a bad situation for him because you could take the D out of D'Antoni. He doesn't care about that. That was Jeff Bezdilich's job as a defensive coordinator for the team. He departed from the team abruptly before agreeing to come back after Thanksgiving. Well, you haven't had a defensive-minded coach there. You lost Luke and Bob Mutsa and Trevor Ariza over the summer. So, essentially, that was just a bad situation for Carmelo that was destined to get worse. He had an opportunity to go to Miami in the summer. Miami wanted him. Pat Riley and those guys even contemplated starting him, letting him know they had a lot of faith in him and they believed that he could still bring some things to the table. But he chose Houston. And I think that was a mistake on his part, evidently. So as a result of it, where do you go from here? I think the right coaching situation where they know how to utilize you offensively and hide you defensively because you're deficient in that category would go a long way. But if assuming he can't find that, then I would agree with Tracy McGrady that it's time for him to retire.
All right, Stephen A., I know you gave a preseason speech to Syracuse football team, and I know they're 8-2 and they're playing well. Do you really think there is anything you could say to that team that could have them actually beat Notre Dame Saturday?
Well, I would say to you, I've already done it. I mean, the fact of the matter is they are 8-2. They are 8-2. So they came in the team. Dino Babers came in the team into the season with a mandate. He had to win 6 games. He had to get to a bowl game. Otherwise, he probably is going to lose his job. Well, he stepped up to the plate and handled his business. I was very pleased with them. I'll tell y'all a funny story real quick. When I gave the speech to them, And that was courtesy of John Wildtack, the athletic director there. That's our former boss here
right.
at ESPN. I love the man. He's always been good to me, so I was happy to come up there and do it. I walked into the speech to them, and I said, you guys feeling good? Feeling great? Everything's all right? They were like, yeah. I said, you feeling good about yourselves? They said, yeah. I said, well, then explain this to me. How in the hell did you end last season giving up 162 points in three games? That's how I started off the speech. And I said, what the hell are you smiling about? I said, no, you haven't accomplished anything yet. And I said, you got to be on a mission to make amends for how you ended the season, because that was bad. This is what you got to do. And then I went into my speech. And sure enough, they started off the season winning four games. I love the way they played Clemson. They played them really, really tough, lost 27-23. And then for the next 3 weeks, I was absolutely disgusted with them because they had lost to Pitt the next week. And then the following 2 weeks, they beat North Carolina and North Carolina State, but they had given up 37 and 41 points. So I really got turned off because that reminded me about the last 3 weeks of the season last year. And I just let them know it's unacceptable. So, you know, they stepped up and they won their last four. They're 8-2. They're destined for a bowl game. I like what I'm seeing from Dungy. I like what I'm seeing from their running back, Neal. I love their defensive line and what we're getting from them. Can they beat Notre Dame? Yes, they can. Golic.
Oh,
yes,
there it is.
Can.
Whatever
you
it
know
is.
Why?
Why?
You know why, Golic? Because we don't know what Notre Dame is made of.
Oh.
I mean, who have they really beaten? They beat Michigan to open the season. Yeah, they deserve credit for that. But as I'm looking at Notre Dame's schedule, I'm just saying, okay, I need to find out a thing or two about them. I predict it's going to be a very tough contest. I believe Syracuse is going to show up, answer the call, answer the challenge, and Golic. Although I have nothing but emotion to lean on in this regard, I'm going to go with an emotional pick here, and I'm going to pick the Syracuse Orangemen to upset the number three-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the number three-ranked team in the nation. They're going to knock them off and make room for Georgia to move into the top four in the playoff picture. That's what I'm going with right now, Golic, albeit it's strictly on emotion.
I'm happy you did. We'll have this to play on Monday after Notre Dame wins so I can use it against you, and I look forward to that.
You do that. I'll show up.
All right, Steve. We always appreciate you, man. Thanks.
All right, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.